Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. If you could be any animal, what type of animal would you want to be? Would you want to jump around as a kangaroo or swim as a dolphin? Maybe you'd want to be an animal who hangs out with humans, like a pet puppy dog. Or maybe you'd want to be a wild, elusive creature far away from human eyes, like a snow leopard. I think I would want to be a bird so that I can soar high above the trees. It's fun to imagine what it would be like to be an animal, and today's guest remembers thinking about the same thing when she was a little girl.
I had no interest in learning how to be a little girl. Everyone wanted me to be a little girl, but boring, I mean, it just wasn't my thing. I wanted to be an animal.
This is Cy Montgomery. You might recognize her voice from previous Constant Wonder Kids episodes. She's a naturalist and an author, and we've talked to her before about her animal friends, including octopuses, turtles, and chickens. Cy has always loved animals, beginning with her first dog, Molly. Cy says that Molly the Scottish Terrier was more than just a pet. She was a teacher.
They are tough, strong, fierce dogs. And that's everything I wanted to be. And I wanted to be just like her. I wanted to learn the secrets of the wild animals. And here was this wonderful teacher who appeared to me, who had senses beyond those that we have, who could smell things that I didn't even know were there, who could see in the dark, who could run really fast, who could detect sounds that I wasn't even aware of. And she knew what I wanted to know. And she showed me the way.
Cy is still a big fan of dogs, and as you listen to her talk today, you might hear her current dog, Thurber, barking in the background, adding his voice to our conversation. As Cy grew up, she continued to care about animals. Her dad helped her by encouraging her to read the newspaper to learn about what animals were experiencing in the world.
He knew I wouldn't care about the political stuff or the financial stuff, but he knew I'd care about the animal stories. So he'd help me read them. But in the 1960s, I was born in 1958, so I'm beginning to read in the 1960s, pretty much all of the stories about animals were some variation on the theme of we're making them go extinct. And whales were going extinct, and elephants were going extinct, and even our national symbol, the bald eagle, was going extinct. And why? It wasn't like the dinosaurs. It wasn't like a big old meteor impact. It was people. And it was then that I realized that maybe I could help my animal friends by writing about their plight and showing people what we could do to save them.
And so Cy Montgomery became a speaker and writer for animals everywhere. Over her lifetime, Cy has focused on different animals at different times. For instance, she was once fascinated by a unique endangered bird from New Zealand called the kakapo.
Oh, the kakapo was fabulous. One of the most exotic and endangered birds in the world is this giant nocturnal flightless parrot called the kakapo, whose feathers smell like honey, and there were only 90 of them left on the planet.
I've heard the kakapo described as a combination of a parrot and an owl. They're a pretty fascinating bird.
We wanted to do a book on the effort to save this bird who lived only on one island owned by the native people, the Maori, off South Island of New Zealand. They only laid eggs after this particular tree, the rimu, fruited.
That means that Cy and her photographer friend, Nick, had to wait a long time for fruit to come onto the rimu tree so that the kakapos would come and lay their eggs.
We waited for 7 years for the rimu to fruit. So finally we get the call, the rimu is fruiting, the kakapos are gonna nest. And we basically both ran out of our respective houses in our bathrobes and got on an airplane and flew to New Zealand to do this.
Cy and Nick were able to observe a lot of interesting behavior in kakapos. They even accidentally found themselves in the middle of one male kakapo's territory during mating season.
Where he was displaying and hoping to attract a mate, he had located it strategically between the one building on the island where humans slept and the latrine.
The latrine is the bathroom.
So this meant at night you would get up to use the latrine and you could be assaulted by a 10-pound parrot. And this happened to me, and Nick photographed it. It was a heck of a thing. You're waking up in the middle of the night. You're on the other side of the world. You're kind of sleepy. You're using your flashlight to try to find your way. And all of a sudden, bam, and this big bird uses his rather sharp claws to crawl up your back, get on your head, and he's whacking you in the face with one wing and then the other wing and then the other wing. So I actually thought it was kind of neat. Nick hated it when this happened, but that's kind of my claim to fame.
Okay, I think I'm with Nick on this one. I would hate to be jumped on by a kakapo. But for Sai, it was just part of the animal adventure, being up close and personal with a fascinating creature. Sai has also investigated other, more dangerous animals in the wild, including Bengal tigers in a mangrove forest swamp.
This is the only mangrove swamp in the world where tigers live, and the only place in the world where healthy tigers routinely hunt people. And it's called Sundarban. It's a 10,000 square kilometer tract of mangrove swamp between India and Bangladesh on the Bay of Bengal. And when I say man-eating, I should just say that actually they do mainly eat men, because it's the men who go out in their boats into the tiger areas. It's mostly not tigers coming into the village and snacking on people.
Even if tigers aren't coming into the villages to eat people, it's still scary that people are sometimes eaten by tigers. But Sai wanted to hear more about these tigers from the people who live near them, and she ended up learning lots of interesting things.
The local people had these stories that they told people, and it turns out it's an excellent natural history observation by people who live close to the earth. And all of their stories about tigers turned out to be true. They would tell me about tigers that become invisible. Well, to dismiss that is foolish, because tigers are indeed capable of becoming invisible. Not see-through like Casper the Friendly Ghost, but you're looking right at them and you don't see them because of that magnificent camouflage. They told about tigers flying through the air. Well, they weren't flapping any wings like Tinkerbell, but they can leap 15, 16 feet, and when they're doing that, they're flying through the air.
Sai was fascinated by the stories people told about tigers, and she was also impressed by the way the respect for tigers benefited the ecosystem, or all living and non-living things. Because the humans were scared to be eaten by tigers, they didn't go into the tigers' mangrove areas to cut down trees. And because they didn't cut down those trees, the mangrove forests were able to keep fish safe from cyclones or big windstorms.
As cyclones become more severe, mangrove forests buffer that force of those winds. And mangrove forests are wonderful nurseries for all kinds of fish, and everyone depends on fish. And it's a really special place. We now have the science that tells us that if you kill all the predators, you wreck everything from the prey items down to the microbes in the soil, down to the fish in the rivers. Removing the predators causes what's called a trophic cascade, a biological disaster. You put back those predators, and the world begins to heal.
I think it's so interesting that tigers are so important to the greater ecosystem. Even though Sai didn't see the tigers very often during her time in the mangrove forest, she knew that they saw her. The mangrove forest is like a jungle in the water, and it was easy for tigers to remain out of sight.
The thing is, the tigers see you all the time, but you hardly ever see the tigers in Sundarban because it's a mangrove, and these tigers swim all the time. And it's very hard to see them, but you see their footprints everywhere. We had traveled down a larger river and then turned up a shallower channel and saw, oh man, we're gonna get stuck here. And we did. And when we turned the boat around, we saw a tiger had in fact swum after our boat and gone down that channel. Probably seen Diane and I on the deck. She had an axe, I had a machete. Decided, oh, I'm just not gonna mess with this, and then disappeared in the forest. And we found that through the fresh tracks that weren't there like a second before we turned around.
Yikes, that seems like a close call to me. Sai often finds herself in exciting situations in the wild, a natural result of her never-ending curiosity.
I think we should honor our natural curiosity, which leads us to be humble, realizing, you know, curiosity is that you're ignorant about something and you want to learn about it. Recognize your curiosity and respect others. Go into your relationships with others with beginner's mind and accept that teachers are everywhere and they might have two legs and be in the classroom, but they could also have four legs or six legs or eight legs or none. Or they could have feathers or tentacles or beaks or scales or shells. And that makes me so happy to know that there's teachers all around us.
Maybe you aren't able to turn into an animal, but you can certainly still learn from animals, just like Sai. So what animal do you want to be your next animal teacher? A snake? An owl? A chimpanzee? The natural world is full of wonders, and I'm glad that we have so many animals to learn from.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm the host of Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too. But you may be wanting more. We have a whole episode devoted to Sai Montgomery and her animal adventures, along with some specific stories about her experiences getting to know her own flock of chickens. If you want to hear that full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts and look for the episode titled Learning Ultimate Empathy from Chickens. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we are confident you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.